Len Ziem, you are getting the better end of the deal today. I'm sure in Port St. Lucie, Florida, the temperature is higher than the current 24 degrees here in Arlington Heights and your old neck of the woods. Normally, both of us should be in Orlando wandering through the convention center at the PGA Merchandise Show, but with things in a virtual format, there is changes to, shall we say, the start of golf season this year in 2021.
Boy, does it feel different. I mean, we're 40 degrees warmer than you are. That's a nice thing. But, you know, I can't shake the fact that this has been such a fixture week to always go to the PGA Merchandise Show. You know, that show has been held 67 years. And it normally, most of the times when you and I went, when we've been there, different times, but still over a lot of years, they've had up to 40,000 visitors and 1,000 exhibitors. And in the Orange County Convention Center and a super demo day over at the Orange County National. This week, with the pandemic issues and it going to a virtual format, they have about 400 exhibitors. And, of course, most of us all, the visitors, are looking on the screen. So it's really been different. I've been trying to follow it this way, and I participated in one presentation given by the Ryder Cup matches from Whistling Straits, and another on the people at Frisco who are putting together the new headquarters for the PGA of America. But it's not the same not being there and seeing all your friends. It's like a mid-winter reunion from all our golf buddies, and I've been missing it.
Well, I got a chance to see some of our friends through a Zoom feed yesterday at the attempted International Network of Golf Awards ceremony that, unfortunately, due to too many technical problems, has been delayed until Friday morning. So we'll hope that the second time around, the mulligan comes a little better off the tee than the first shot did. But yeah, Len, it's different. Companies are going to find different ways to promote their products. And speaking of promotions, we do want to promote our good friends over at the Schomburg Golf Club, 401 North Roselle Road, only 5 minutes from Winfield Mall. They not only renovated all 27 holes over the last 3-4 years, but there's been work done in the clubhouse, including a redo of the basement that now is home to 3 outstanding simulators, and you can go there and enjoy golf all year round. And one of the really neat things about their simulators, Len, is that you can actually play all 27 holes of the Schomburg Golf Club. And a lot of simulators out there, they tell you how you can play Whistling Straits or Pebble Beach or some of the other great top 100 courses around the country. But a lot of our local courses here have no way of actually allowing people to get on the simulator and play the course that's right outside the front door at that building or that clubhouse. So I think it's great what Schomburg has done, and Schomburg has become, you know, a very popular venue. It was before the renovation, even more so now. So we recommend everybody check out SchombergGolf.com or call the Pro Shop at 847-885-9000 and reserve a hitting bay. And very soon, as the COVID protocols change, Chandler's Chop House right upstairs that'll bring food down to you while you play should be reopened shortly. And so we're looking forward to that as well. But Schomburg Golf Club, Len, you saw part of it. We got out there and golfed 9 holes after the first 9 was done, and we looked at the construction on some of the other 9s. But finally, for the first time in 5 years, this summer, all 27 holes will be open from day one.
You know, I feel like it's a real honor to have Schomburg Golf Club as part of our podcast series, Roy. They've done wonderful things over there at Schomburg. I played that back in the days when it wasn't Schomburg. It's called the Golden Acres, way, way back when I was in high school. And the Schomburg Park District has just done wonders with that facility. And especially now that all 27 are finished, the indoor facility, it's really something to go over there, even when you can't see green grass out there. They've done just wonderful things, and it's great to be working with them.
Well, Len, I have to tell you, I don't know what your experience has been so far with the virtual PGA merchandise show. Mine has been limited. I've read a few of the press releases. You mentioned a couple of the press conferences that went on. But I had an opportunity to learn a little bit more about golf in Ireland yesterday by speaking with someone from golf in Ireland, and I'll tell you what, it gets you interested about traveling overseas when it's safe and healthy again to do so, and feel that as soon as things get healthy, Wenzeem, and everyone gets their vaccination or their shots, heading to places like Ireland will be on people's lists again. And it was great to learn about all the opportunities in Ireland yesterday.
You know, I think Ireland was might have been the only major travel destination. Ireland is always at that show, always has representatives. And, you know, I've never been to Ireland. And I've had my first vaccine shot, so we could go anytime, I guess. But the merchandise show is an interesting thing this year. I have participated in two more panel discussion things. It's more me listening in on people giving us the word on what's new and coming. And what I learned about a couple things here, the new facility in Frisco, Texas is well underway by the PGA of America. However, it's going to be a long time before we really see it in what it's all planned to be. The update there is that golf will make its debut actually on a golf course there on August 1st. They have a building pretty much underway over there, but it's not done. PGA will take over as its main headquarters. So that'll be, it's something to look forward to. But the first big tournament there won't be until 2023 when the senior PGA gets there. So it's kind of tantalizing to think about what's going on. Gil Hans, the architect for one of the courses, was especially made a lot of comments. So let's talk a lot about what's going on over there. He's excited. I'm excited too. Jimmy Terry, the general manager of the place there, had been the same general manager here at where I live at PGA Resort. I know he's a good man, and he'll do great over there. In Frisco, Texas, because he's a native Texan. But that's something for all of us to look forward to. Unfortunately, it's quite a bit down the road.
Yes, Len, it might take until 2022 to potentially venture across the pond, as they say, to get over and see Ireland. And I appreciated my opportunity to see Tiernan Byrne, or talk to him at least, and actually see him through the power of Zoom, and learn more about Golf Ireland. And they had a little bit of a virtual happy hour that included a video message from European Ryder Cup captain Padraig Harrington, who I'm sure I'll see a little bit more of later this year when the Ryder Cup finally tees off at Whistling Straits. In the meantime, a whole bunch of other news kind of going on. And we talked about the Schaumburg Park District. And one of the things that came out today in local area, shall we say, Park District Golf, was news from the Northbrook Park District that they are sort of rebranding Sportsman's Country Club, or Golf and Country Club, and that's no longer going to be the name. When you drive down Dundee Road and pull through the front gates over there, it will now be called the Heritage Oaks Golf Club, and with all sorts of other names for the various facilities, the Classic 18 course, the Legacy 9 course, the Acorn Grill and Terrace, the practice range at Heritage Oaks, the Northbrook Golf Academy, and Sporty's Halfway House. And the brand new logo is out with a acorn that has a golf tee sticking out of the top of it, and therefore branding Heritage Oaks Golf Club in Northbrook.
Yeah, good logo especially. I like that already. You know, this is interesting. Interested me, the decision that the Northbrook Park District did here. Normally with golf courses, golf is, you get a golf course name, and the people are very reluctant to change names. Golf is such a game of such history, with such historical roots and everything. But, you know, in the case of the old Sportsman's, this was a very appropriate rebranding because the whole facility, this is one of the most expensive. It's literally a complete redo of the whole property. And thing reminiscent of Sportsman's, not that Sportsman's was a bad place, it lasted 90 years. But it's going to be so different that a name was inevitable and appropriate. I'm really looking forward to seeing the finished product that's closing in.
Well, the expected reopening of the club should be in late July or early August, pending on the weather this spring and the grow-in process over there at the Rick Jacobson renovation of the club. Len, earlier we made a brief note here of the Ryder Cup. And you know what? I know Captain Steve Stricker has 6 captain picks this year. But if you look at the standings every week when they come out, 2 names are really falling out of contention for making the Ryder Cup team. And if neither one of them made it, it'd be the first time in a whole lot of years. But both Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, unless they win a major this year, realistically, I don't see any room for them on the team, and I think Steve Stricker is going to have to pick some other players to go along with the guys who are the top 6 in the standings.
Yeah, you know, this is a time, I think, the times are so extraordinary that I think that it's a time when the American team should be picked straight off of the Ryder Cup point list. The top 12, you're on. If somebody's sick, move up to 13. Move up to number 14. It doesn't have to stay that way forever, but we don't need to have captain's picks just to get popular players out there. This is a very good opportunity. There's so many good young players on the PGA Tour now that this is a great time for them to break in. And, you know, the Ryder Cup is off 1 year from when it was supposed to be played. And the schedules have been so discombobulated by the pandemic that I think that would be a real good time to just pick the top 12, just flat out do it. I think I heard some support for that issue from Davis Love. This is a year where there'd be nothing wrong with having your team picked strictly on a point basis. I hope they consider that.
Well, I hope Steve Stricker will do that too. And you're right, Davis Love endorsed that philosophy, and Davis Love is making some headlines this week, and it seems like there's some doubt from people about this selection, but Davis Love III will be the President's Cup captain in his home state of North Carolina, or at least, I know he played college golf there, but he's had a house in Georgia and so forth, but is considered one of the local guys in when it comes to North Carolina golf. And with the President's Cup being played at Quail Hollow in 22 down there in Charlotte, Davis Love was selected to be the captain of that team. He replaces Tiger Woods, who was the captain of the last team down in Australia. And you mentioned younger players on the tour, and we're fortunate that a couple guys that have been getting out on the tour have some local roots here in the Chicago area. Nick Hardy from Northbrook, who actually made it through Monday qualifying and had a 14th place finish at the Sony Open a couple of weeks ago. And his partner that week, the first 2 rounds, was Arlington Heights native Doug Gim. And Doug Gim missed the cut at Sony, but bounced back last week with a top 5 at American Express, made himself almost $250,000, so he'll get a few bucks in the bank account. And Gim is back in the field this week at Farmers Insurance, along with Wheaton native Kevin Streelman. Both of them will be teeing it up. Nick Hardy actually went to Monday's qualifying and just missed out. And Highwood's Patrick Flavin got eliminated from playing in the Farmers this week. He also went to the Monday qualifier, ended up in a 5-for-2 playoff that would have got him in. The golf ran late on Monday due to weather, so Flavin talked to a friend in Arizona. That friend had parents living about 45 minutes from the golf course, so on Monday night, Flavin drove to their house. They put him up for the night, and then he turned around and drove back to the golf course in the morning and got into the playoff. Unfortunately, got eliminated and did not make it into the field. Neither did Nick Hardy, who also will be trying to Monday qualify in a week or so out at Waste Management. But Doug Gim, Kevin Streelman are in the field, and we'll have a couple locals to cheer for this weekend when we watch the Farmers.
Yeah, you know, Doug Gim, that was his, by far, his best finish in his rookie season on the PGA Tour. He had done, he had a tie for 12th at the Byron Nelson in 2019, but here he's only 24 years old. A great future ahead of him there, but $247,900, not a bad payday for him at that tournament. I should bring up Kevin Streelman. This has been a bit of a puzzle, really. He needed a good finish in at least one of the last two tournaments of 2020 to get in the top 50 in the world rankings to assure himself a spot in the Masters this April, and he couldn't deliver. He was number 52 in the rankings at the end of 2020, and of course, the top 50 from that year are allowed into the Masters. Now, if he's in the top 50 at the end of, you know, right at the Masters time this year, he'll still get in. But it doesn't look like he's playing his way in yet. He played in the American Express tournament last week, but shot 76 in the second round and missed the cut. And that dropped him down to number 58 on the official world ranking. So Kevin needs to pick it up. Good time to start is this week. And, of course, he lives in Arizona now, so he's got the big tournaments coming up there. It's a good time for him to get his game together, and I'd sure like to see him playing at Augusta in April.
Well, Kevin Streelman is part of the Wilson Golf staff team out on tour. What we've been seeing out of Wilson, even though there's no merchandise show, especially the best way to pick it up is you have to give kudos to Wilson Golf President Tim Clark. He's had all sorts of pictures of all of the new D9 series of Wilson irons. And for the first time in a while, Wilson Golf has come out with a new driver that wasn't decided upon through the Driver versus Driver show on the Golf Channel. So anyway, Wilson, a new driver again, new irons, new products, and of course we're going to have to catch up with Tim on them. Wilson also has signed some new staff players both here in America and over in Europe where their brand name is very strong. But it'll be interesting to see how area golfers and golfers everywhere respond to the new product line put out by Wilson Golf.
Yeah, and I tell you, our other Chicago club manufacturer, Touridge, has been making a lot of noise on the marketplace as well. I'm not at liberty right now to break the news, but they're going to have a very major player announcement any day now, from what I'm told, to add to their senior Champions Tour ambassadors. So it's really exciting time for both Wilson and Touridge. It's going to be, it's almost sort of it's a healthy competition, although they're not really competing because the Wilson's players are basically PGA Tour and European Tour guys, and Touridge has thrived on making a very wise decision to load up on Champions Tour players. But very much both companies very much in the heart of the golf industry. It's great to see.
Len, there's been a couple of other announcements here locally. First off, work has started for a new facility for the Greater Chicagoland First Tee, and they're getting ready for a new facility over at Waveland Golf Course. I know there's a different name, a commissioner, maybe it's Sidney Mirovitz, I believe. But anyway, in the Waveland area there, just northeast of Wrigley Field, First Tee is putting together a new facility there. From the pictures we've seen, it looks like it'll be quite a facility.
Yeah, Luke Donald is, of course, he's been such a strong supporter of the First Tee for years and years and years. You know, he's been loyal to Chicago golf, even though he doesn't live here anymore, after his great career at Northwestern and his rise to number one in the world rankings a while back. He's kind of been a little on the downside the last few seasons, but he's never, ever forgot his Chicago roots, and he's not just contributed monetarily, he's contributed design-wise to what I think is shaping up as a very special First Tee headquarters over there at the Mirovitz course. So it'll be it'll be fun to see what they have in mind when the season opens.
An award has been presented to Harborside Golf Club down there at 111th Street in the Dan Ryan or so. Harborside, operated by our friends at Northbrook/Chicago-based Kemper Sports, have been named a top 50 range by the Greater Range American Association, the GRAA, as it goes by, and or the Golf Ranges of America or something to that extent. But anyway, they did get named and won an award for doing so. And I know there's been a couple of other properties in the Chicago area that have won awards from them, including our good friends at Mistwood Golf out in Romeoville. But congratulations to Harborside and all the people over there that have worked very hard to continue to improve that facility during the time it's been managed by Kemper Sports.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a really nice facility over there. It did host the Champions Tour event for 1 year, but it hasn't. It's a great facility with 36 holes, and that has long been one of the best ranges in the Chicago area for sure. You know, I've always kind of felt like Harborside didn't get all the attention it merited. It's kind of in a spot there where there hasn't been tour events other than the one many years back with the Champions Tour. But people who have been around Harborside want to go back. It's a really a tough place. You know, I hope that they keep it. It helps. It's probably the heart of golf in the South Side right now. Really is.
Len, our good friend Chad Johansson, the general manager and head golf professional out at Blackberry Oaks, is keeping people in form here in the off season. He is running a bunch of upcoming webinars, so you can learn more about the golf swing and how you should be swinging the club, how you should be hitting the golf ball, by just jumping online. Visit Chad Johansson Golf Academy, cjga.com, or give him a shout over at Blackberry Oaks Golf Club or the Go For It Sports Dome on Galena Avenue in Yorkville, and learn more about these webinars coming up. And of course, Chad has the indoor program going in the dome all winter long. So whether you're a junior, a senior, or somewhere in between, you can get over there and practice your golf game. But you know what? We were mentioning Kemper Sports a moment ago, and we're seeing right now that the search has begun by the management team at Cantini Golf, another property overseen by Kemper Sports, for a new head golf professional there. So the search is on, and I would just say if we have any PGA professionals out there listening and they're looking for a new opportunity or a new challenge, Cantini Golf, one of the great facilities in the Chicagoland area, not only 27 holes of golf, but an entire practice facility building with outdoor and indoor hitting areas. And again, just a great place for golf and food and beverage and having a lot of fun.
Yeah, Cantini also, I just caught up on that this week. Cantini, which has had some good tournaments over there for sure, state amateurs, even a couple of small national events. But Cantini, this may be the first time it's going to be a host for a U.S. Open local on May 10th this year. And then the other Chicago local is going to be at Cock Hill's famous Dubs Red course the week before that. So that gives a little different flavor to the local qualifiers held in Chicago. There's a third one in Illinois. It's at a place that always gets it downstate, Illini Country Club, on May 17th. But the women's U.S. Open qualifier, usually held around Twin Orchard most times in past years, is going down to DeKalb this next year, and it'll be held at Kishwaukee Country Club. So kind of a little bouncing around of local Open qualifying sites. It'll be interesting to see how things play out there, but still no U.S. Open sectional for Chicago for the men's side, which is a shame.
That sure is, and hopefully, who knows, maybe something there could change. Len, finally, in closing today, the PGA of America did announce the change on the 2022 PGA Championship, and it's going to stay at Southern Hills in Tulsa that's going to have the Senior PGA Championship this year. They will have the PGA Championship next year. And it'll be interesting to see how that course plays due to the fact over the last couple of years, Gil Hanse and his crew have been in there doing a renovation.
Well, that's a club. I've been there to see Mike Small be a little club pro at a PGA National Championship. So it's a great club. Its membership is very dedicated to having tournament play. And I think that, you know, given this sort of a short turnaround here to get named, usually you get it 5 years in before, but you're named 5 years before the tournaments like that are held. But Southern Hills is certainly a qualified course to hold any tournament. I think it was a good move to move the tournament over there.
Well, we'll have to see what they've got since Gil Hanse made improvements. I know that previous architects who've been affiliated with the club wanted to get some things done and make some needed improvements for years, and the board repeatedly shot those down. I had the chance to play there on U.S. Open Media Day in 2001 and see the club again about 6-7 years ago, and still felt that for a top 100 club, it had its share of weaknesses, including they call it the creek. I call it an annoying ditch that ran through the golf course. And some of the slopes left fantastic drives running down towards the water quite frequently and leaving people behind trees that they really didn't deserve to be behind. But anyway, hopefully Gil Hanse and his crew have put a new stamp and a new look on Southern Hills and taking some of the crazy slopes out of there. And we'll see how that club plays this May when the Senior PGA Championship arrives. Len Ziem, any final news before we wrap it for Volume 3?
Well, not yet. I tell you, we're interested in the things that are developing here in Florida. There was one thing that I did come up with that some of us real insiders would be interested in. Dick Ray, who had been, of course, the superintendent of the year and was the head pro here at PGA Golf Club, he has moved on to retired, which it kind of was done kind of quietly. And it's a shame because he was a real top guy. But within the industry, Dick Ray was a giant. You know, a lot of people know who Dick Ray is. Now, he's not a household name because he's a superintendent. But in the superintendent's ranks, that was significant stuff.
Also, there was a passing of Illinois PGA member Bob Harris, I believe, who passed away in the last week at age 92. And according to reports, was really good in the Illinois PGA Match Play Championship. So condolences to his friends and family. With that, Len, we'll look forward to talking next week.
You got it.